So proud, my oldest son.
Hang on a sec.
Oh, yeah, turn it off. Good work. Turn off that aircon, man. So proud, my oldest son's gone into arts at uni.
Oh, that's great. Well,
said to him, it's going to be the best 8 years of your life. Yeah. You sit back and got to give him some advice, though, because I did an arts degree. My wife did an arts degree. So you did teaching, but I did teaching as well. And they're kind of similar. So, I mean, what advice? I said, you know, don't sit next to the mature age student. They're a bit annoying.
That's good advice.
Even though when I did teaching, the mature age students were really good for homework and stuff because they were studious as opposed to young 18-year-old. I mean, I remember mucking around in my first or second day in teachers' college, and a mature age student turned around and said, "Did you come straight from school?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah, I could tell." Just turned back around. Okay, mum. All right, whatever. What else? I said to him, Friday lectures at 9 a.m. don't work. No good.
No good.
Remember that? You'd go out Thursday night, have a few drinks, wake up like, oh, I've got to go to my Friday 9 a.m. lecture.
Yeah.
And the lecturer would always make comments. Oh, there's a certain amount of people on here today, you know. Mm. What other tips? When you're choosing someone to do a group homework with, don't choose a good-looking person because they won't do any homework. They won't do any. You know what I mean? They just rest in there. But then again, if you look around and everyone else has got bad skin and they're fat, you're the good-looking person. So sit back.
Be the best one in the bunch.
But sit back. What other tips can we give about uni? I mean, uni's changed from when we went. I think there's less on campus. Remember when we went, there was a lot of on-campus activities and
you were a big fish in a small pond, and now you're going into it to be a little fish in a big pond. But the amount of opportunities you had for extracurricular activity, whether it's groups or, you know, different subjects, I think that's especially early on in the first year, to take some and go, you know what?
He should join all the clubs.
Yeah.
So the Labour Club, the Liberal Club, the Christians,
the atheists, the young mafia,
the heavy metal club.
Did
you join any clubs at uni?
No, because
I joined the chocolate club. There was a chocolate club at Melbourne Uni. That was good.
A chocolate.
Yeah, they had a chocolate ball. People just got drunk, but I was there for the chocolate personally.
You're fundamental. Yeah.
Where's the chocolate, guys? I don't want to just drink brandy.
I
joined the Labour Club, the Young Labour Club.
Of course you did. You're still a member. You still turn up.
Not a member of the Labour Party anymore. I went to one Young Labour conference in 1986, and we had to vote for either Bill Shorten, or a guy who's in the right wing, or David Moody, who's now a lawyer in the left wing.
Left wing of the left.
Left wing
and
of the
and right
Party.
Of the left. And Yep.
Yeah, they're all Labour.
They're moderate. The right would be moderate, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you get some of these. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, so they would get up and debate, and people ask questions. It was really exciting. It was like a young parliament thing. And then it came time to vote. And at about 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, two busloads of Sri Lankan guys turned up out of nowhere. And I said, "What are you guys doing?" They said, "We're voting for Bill." So Bill got elected.
Ah.
That's good branch stacking, Glenn. Yeah. That's an old branch stacking thing.
That's the old trick.
Get your mates to turn up. It's often done on ethnic lines, you see. This is how it works.
I reckon learn an instrument. It's really good.
Learn an instrument?
Yeah, I learned guitar. Yeah, I did. Well, I did it at the teacher's college.
Yeah.
I learned guitar, Spanish guitar.
Did you have that? At this, we went to the same teacher's college.
We did.
Melbourne State. Did you have the blind guy teaching you, Alan, someone? He was actually blind, and he was a guitar teacher. And he used to hit your hands on the...
I don't.
And because I was in a band, he used to hang shit on me. We're not using plectrums here today, mate, and all this.
I can play one thing on the guitar, which is always good if you go to someone's house and you pick up and you play some Spanish guitar really well, and you just put it down again and go, wow!
Because when we did a Zoom gig together, you had a guitar in the background.
Yes.
And then everyone kept saying, play the guitar.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, you said, "I'm going to pick it up and play it now." Then you said, cut the thing, cut the chord. And we were waiting for you to play, but you didn't play. So can you actually play something on the guitar?
I can play a couple of things, yeah. Check out a bit of Green Sleeves, a bit of Twinkle Twinkle. No, I can play a little bit of bossa nova-y stuff.
You should do, when I worked with George Smelovich about 25 years ago, I'm Tough. Remember George Smelovich, I'm Tough.
Yeah, I should do a single like that.
Yeah, he does a routine called I'm Tough. But so I was at the Sydney Comedy Store, which is like a venue in Sydney. He comes on, and this was not the height of his fame, but he was very well known.
Yeah.
He comes on with an acoustic guitar, plugs it in.
And plays really well.
Plays flamenco for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, he does play well.
Yeah, but that's...
We didn't pay for that.
We're a comedy
do the jokes, not the guitar. Yeah.
It'd be like me walking on stage with my bass, just going, okay, guys, you know, some serious... 20 minutes later, what the fuck's going on?
Some comedian, Jamone does a bit of that. Someone, Billy Connolly plays some
stuff. He plays the banjo.
Yeah.
Steve Martin plays the banjo.
Yeah.
Banjos. I'd love to play the banjo.
But the banjo is a happy instrument.
Ukulele. We've recently seen our Prime Minister play the ukulele.
Yeah.
Maury Fields used to play the ukulele.
Yeah.
The uke.
I wouldn't mind, but but I reckon after about two songs of the uke, you go,
been annoying.
Enough now.
Been annoying.
Yeah.
Been annoying. So that's all the advice you've got for my son.
I think so. Hang on. I did drama. That's always good.
Drama's good.
Good way to meet girls.
Yeah, drama. Lots of girls.
You become quite vulnerable and you open up and, you know.
A lot of trust exercises.
Yeah. So, you know, you wear special leotards and you do relaxation.
But have your ballet support in.
Yep. Absolutely. That's a good thing. What else? Oh, gee.
I know. It's been a while for us, so I think uni's changed, you know.
Really? There aren't as many clubs or anything?
Yeah, not as much. You know, Howard got rid of the student unions and stuff, so there's not as much.
Strong. Right.
I mean, it kind of annoys me that you have to pay for uni now, because me and you were in that golden period where it was free. And, you know, the only reason that it was made free, because people like Hawke, Dawson, and some of the Liberals, they were all educated. Some of these guys, they were educated in free uni, and then when they got into power, they invented HEX.
Yeah.
So they got educated in a free university system.
Yeah.
But then when they got into power, they pulled the ladder up effectively.
Yeah.
Oh, we're okay. That's my favourite saying. They pulled the ladder up.
That's good. Is that yours?
No, that's a saying.
I know it's a saying, but you're using it well.
I saw the comedian Simon Palomares used it once when Arne Doe was asked about to comment on the recent refugee crisis, and he said, "That's not an issue for me. That's an issue for the government." And Simon Palomares said, "He's pulled the ladder up."
Okay, for you.
The ladder's up. I'm all right. See you later, guys.
All done now. All done. Hello, Arne, if you're listening.
I'm sure he's not. Or Simon. I'm sure they're not.
Well,
maybe we should have the music. All right.
Is this the start of the show still?
Yeah. Email me if you've got any ideas for uni. Email me for the future of the youth.
I wish there was one I could go to the music with. Oh, gee.
I'll go back to my advice my dad gave to his nephews. My nephews? Yeah, his grandkids. Two of his grandkids joined the military, my brother's different kids. One joined the Army, one joined the Navy. And Kev said to them, I'll give you two tips. Always get in first at the canteen because they do run out of food.
Yeah.
And the number two one, don't volunteer for anything in the military. He goes, I made that mistake in Vietnam. Next thing you know, I'm in the tunnel getting shot at.
So. Yeah, good advice.
Don't volunteer, kids.
On your feet.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related Now. Please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, here we are. It's great to be here. We're in the studio together and it's Somehow Related. We've already covered a lot. I feel like we've already done a show.
I thought we were mid-show. I forgot. Because it gets a bit warm in here. I get a bit lightheaded and a bit vague. Here.
Well, we get two topics. We've got to work out how they're related. And should we get them off?
Sam's doing okay. Good. She's back. She's on track now. She had a bit of a she went AWOL there.
She had a meeting with HR and
threatened her, and she certainly put us in our place.
Okay, what are the topics, Sam?
Shoeys and Russian ballet.
Oh, shoeys. That's great. I find that gross.
This is a recent thing.
Well, I mean, drinking from shoes is a historical thing, I believe. But, I mean, it became – didn't an F1 driver do it? He drank from his shoe.
The Australian guy, I think, did it, didn't he?
Yeah, and then Bogan started doing it. I just remember doing a gig in a pub with Brad Oakes, the great man, in Bright, which is at the bottom of the snowfields. Now, I didn't realise when I accepted that gig that it would be full of people that couldn't afford the snow but still wanted to go.
Right.
You know, they couldn't afford to stay on the mountain.
Yeah.
No, I thought it would just be like a nice country gig with country folk.
It's all the,
you know, you've got the teacher, you've got the local cop, you've got the family there.
Yeah.
They're all just young, slightly angry guys, blokes, who couldn't afford to stay on.
So they drive up the mountain and ski and come back down.
Yeah, they come back down to Santa Bright, go to the free comedy night in the pub and harass us.
Yeah.
And so they're all like,
young guys with money. Oh, they had no money.
They didn't have that much money.
Yeah, they didn't have money.
You know, they've got enough money to drive 3 or 4 hours to the snowfields and then go up on the day, and then come back and stay in the caravan park in Bright. So good on them, but they were our audience. And then at the end, they kept saying, "Do a shoey, do a shoey." And one guy took his shoe off and gave it to me, and I just went, "I'm not going to drink out of your shoe, mate."
It'd be like a rite of passage thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, with
like
the
a
young
hazing
bloke.
Sort of. Yeah,
young blokes.
Yeah, you've got to do it, otherwise you're not part of. We all did it. I did it. I've done it. Or it could be like a good luck thing too. I think if you had
I think in the old days they used to drink. It was like a thing they'd do with posh sort of society. They would drink out of a. I don't know, but I know that in the army they do it.
I'm seeing a high heel, a high heel shoe drinking out of it. And
must be in a movie.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, but it was actually on. I can't believe this. Not that I was watching it on Maths the other night.
They were drinking out of shoes on
Maths. The guy went. Yeah, I don't even know what happened.
But they were drinking out of shoes.
Well, one of the guys who's a plumber. Who turns up and it was going to be his party piece. A lot of people do use it as a party piece.
Oh, he was doing an actual shoey.
He did an actual shoey.
Oh.
To go, look at me, and his new wife was very embarrassed.
You would be embarrassed. And what was he drinking out of? A high heel or like a proper run, just a runner or something?
I think it was a nice suede lace-up. But it's got
Well, I suppose if you got a brand new shoe from the shoe shop, that's a bit better than having one that some bloke in Bright's been wearing all day. You know what I mean? You don't get any toenails. You've got a brand new one.
Because it's got to give off a bit of a taste.
Oh, of leather and varnish. And
I mean, we all know that your feet stink.
Stink.
And so therefore, you know, maybe
we all know that, you know, my partner had this policy of keeping your shoes outside because that's what the Japanese do. And then I came out one day and there was a dead rat in my shoe.
That's right.
And we know he went in there and died from the odor.
Because spiders go in there and stuff like that. You can't be leaving your shoes outside. Maybe just inside the door.
Soldiers do it too. Remember there was that footage of the Australian SES guys drinking out of the prosthetic leg?
Oh, that's right.
And it's a tradition. I think German soldiers did it. They would drink out of shoes.
Yeah.
Drink out of boots.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I would imagine it probably has some significant deeper history than just being a yobbo thing that you do nowadays. Well, I dare say.
Maybe that's why the Russian ballet has been paired with the shoey.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about, I'm thinking about cowboys. Did cowboys ever, no, cowboys drank out of their hat.
Oh, they did too.
They would scoop, put their hat down into the river and drink from their hat.
Yeah, right.
I don't know whether they use shoes. Yeah.
Shoey. I mean, shoes, I mean, you get, is it in Cinderella? The slipper falls off. No, that's just fitting the shoe, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think
he doesn't drink from the shoe.
Scalded, pulled a beer off camera and banged one down. So what else can you say really about shoes, really?
Shoey, do a shoey. It is a recent Aussie phenomenon, I reckon, because of that F1 driver. Australian? He's Australian, was he?
Ricardo.
Oh, okay, right.
What's his name?
Yep.
Daniel Ricardo.
Yeah.
I think he did it, and then they, I don't know, what are their shoes like? Are their shoes like high lace-up things, aren't they? Or are they, I wore a pair of them in the Celebrity Grand Prix.
That's right. Where did you come in the Celebrity Grand Prix?
Right in the middle of the field.
Right.
Sort of, I wasn't bad. I wasn't up front. Because,
Who beat you, Dermot Brereton?
Dermot Brereton, right. Yeah. I think Rob Sitch came second. But halfway through the schooling we did, they said, who is willing to risk their life to win this race?
Oh, God.
And one hand went up.
Dermot
Brereton.
Yeah.
And he won. And you just got to...
Footballers are competitive. I've noticed when I've worked with Brownie, Jonathan Brown,
they
three
can't
time.
Help themselves.
Even when you do like a quiz, he's like, he's on the buzzer so quick. Yeah. They just want to win.
Yeah, winning defines them, I think, because they are somebody then, you know. I mean, I'm competitive. Are you competitive?
No, not
what about with a quiz or something? What about
a little bit, but not really.
What about on a comedy night?
Yeah.
When you know
someone's
doing really well.
Yeah, I just let them have it. Whatever.
So you're good because you know it's not about you how they go. You know, you're you and you do your thing.
Definitely on like Spicks and Specs, I would get slightly competitive answering the questions. Definitely.
Oh really?
Oh definitely.
So meaning that
you want your team to win.
So what was the? Because I still watch that show. What was the? Was there a whiteboard tally for the?
One of the producers has it, but sometimes the points get mixed up because
they
cut out whole segments and edit stuff, and in the end it's just like. But they try and keep it on track.
Yeah,
they try and keep it on track.
It's
not like QI where they just sort of award points, you know, like
because sometimes on that show, I won't say who, you can see they take it really seriously. And when they get a question right, they do that like almost to a fist pump. You go,
I know
who
you're talking about. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. We don't have to say. But yeah, people do take that stuff quite seriously.
So, Shuey's, come up with you. I wrote a sketch, one of my favorite sketches that I ever wrote that never had a tag, but I loved the setup.
Yeah.
The setup was, it was me, I was a shoe salesman, and Kim Gingell was buying a pair of shoes. It was a great setup. Great, I don't know whether it was Comedy Company or Fast Forward. Anyway, he comes into the shop and goes, I'd like a pair of shoes, please. And he goes, I'm one of these funny people that has different size feet. And I go, that's no problem. Have that sort of thing all the time, okay? Let's have a look at your feet. Takes one shoe off, normal foot.
Yep. Next
and
one.
Next one, we put
a massive.
No, we put a doll's foot. Oh. Like, yeah, his foot was like an inch long.
Fantastic. You
know? And I don't know what happened after that because the setup was so good we never had an ending. Yeah, but anyway.
Just do that thing and change channels on Fast Forward. Yeah. Just do that change channel thing.
Which was one of the great inventions. Because
great technique.
Great technique. Because it meant you were, here's what's happening out there everywhere. And we got you go on the laugh and you're out of there. And you don't often need a tag. And then you can go back.
Who invented that? It was a good idea.
I'm suspecting either Andrew Knight or
Vizard.
Ted Emery, or the late great Doug McLeod.
All I know is that when we worked on Full Frontal and Totally Full Frontal, we tried to come up with another way of doing that, but a different.
Oh yeah.
And someone said for a while they had a mouse that would like click on things, like a. So you see the little arrow on a click on.
Oh,
that.
So it was updated to a computer instead of the television turning.
Didn't
over.
Really work though.
Yeah. Oh, look, Shoey's, we know what they are. Shoey. There's got to be some deeper tradition in there. But at the moment, I would say it's in the Bogan category.
Yes.
And if you're doing it regularly or thinking about doing it, I don't know, rethink it, I think.
Don't do
you
it.
Know, yeah, don't
Could
be
you
a,
do it?
Don't. It should be an ad. Don't be a Shoey fool.
Shoey fooey.
Yeah, Shoey fooey.
Shoey fooey.
Don't do
shoey,
it.
Shoey.
It's spreading. I mean, during COVID. I mean,
Pooey to the Shoey.
Big billboard. If you know, COVID... You could you could pass it on through your sweat.
No good.
Couldn't you?
No good. The Shoey.
Okay.
Was it Russian ballet? Russian ballet.
So they're specific about the Russian ballet. I know a bit about Russians because my mum was into ballet. My mum was a ballet dancer.
Your mum was a ballet dancer?
Yes. Yeah, she trained. She did. I don't know how far she went, but she had that problem with her feet because their feet, they get very big bunions. And she had,
did she have very good posture after that?
Yeah, she was a natural dancer. But yeah. I think I've told the story before. Well, I used to go to uni and I'd catch the tram past the...
The ballet school.
Ballet school. Yeah. And you could tell the people going to ballet school because they held onto the bar really elegantly.
You still see those kids on the tram in Melbourne. And one kid from our primary school, I think it's VCA or the ballet school, he goes there and you see him down the park.
And he runs like...
Oh, man, you should see him on the monkey bars. Incredible. He'd be like 17 now or 18, and he's just like up and about. He's like...
I mean...
He does that thing where he goes on the monkey bars and does like a handstand on the monkey bars.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves it, though. He loves ballet. He loves it.
The Russian ballet.
The Russian ballet. I remember Nuray.
Nureyev.
Nureyev. Rudolf.
Rudolf Nureyev.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Who else was there?
He was huge, wasn't he?
Yeah. Nureyev was huge. The Bolshoi Ballet?
The Bolshoi Ballet used to tour.
Yeah.
That was a big expo. You know what? That was up there with the Moscow Circus. Remember them?
Uh-huh.
The Moscow Circus.
The Moscow Circus? Because we had a period here where the Cirque du Soleil was coming a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then and the Moscow Circus came first. Then
they would. Moscow Circus was 80s and 70s. Yeah. They've Cossacks and stuff. And then you go see Ashton Circus. Like, oh, it's not as good. Oh,
yeah, and then we had the China.
Oh, we did.
I had the China. That looked precise, but it was a little bit, you know.
Wasn't sterile.
What's the name on the new one? What's it called? What are they called?
Circus Oz.
The other one. Well, they said before.
Cirque du Soleil.
They changed the rules, really, didn't they? Because it became art form. You know what annoyed me about them, though?
The clowns?
And they make up their own language. Oh, fuck. Stop with that.
Stupid made up.
Keith Flanagan has a great routine about the, I won't say, it must be one of her specials about the clowns. They would just come out, she said, after everything they come out, and eventually people start groaning. When
yeah.
Circus Ozzo has been disbanded, isn't it?
Well, they went funded. The funding was stopped.
But Kieran went with the kids one year, and she said, as good as it is, it's sort of like everyone gets to go. You know what I mean? It's a little bit, you want to do your chair trick? All right, do your chair trick.
You do everything.
All right, now Sally's going to do a bit of, Gary's got to have a go. I think they're too democratic. You need some guy or woman going, look, hey, cut, edit, cut. Yeah. You're not doing your chair trick. That shit, get out.
Did they do the motorbike in the cage where it went round,
yes.
Round? Yes. Very Simpsons, a lot of that. Oh, I'm getting dizzy watching that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, ballet. I just remember, who was the Russian ballet person who came out first time in the West and said she couldn't concentrate because she thought of all the unwiped bottoms in the audience? Remember that great quote?
Well, why were they unwiped?
Because in Russia they use water to wipe their bottoms. It's more.
So she just imagined us with...
Yeah, all with stinky bums. She said she couldn't concentrate. Oh, it's a great quote.
Now I can't concentrate. Now you've said that.
Look around. Look through that window to those guys in that office out there.
Well,
she believed they weren't wiping their bottoms properly in the West.
But don't think about it.
I know.
Because the whole thing is, if you know it, don't think about it.
Yeah.
It's like being mindful.
I know.
You're not going to feel good if you think about it. What is it? The elephant in the room. Don't think about it. Don't think about me with no clothes on.
God.
Bending over.
Oh. Now I'm thinking about it.
Now you can't stop. Even people listening to this podcast. God.
What can you say?
Baryshnikov.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Was he Russian as well?
Yeah, well, sounds like it.
Nureyev.
Right.
There was another one called Pavlova. Well, Anna Pavlova.
Oh, is that where the Pavlova is named after?
Probably. We got a new cake.
Maybe they made it for Anna, possibly when she toured.
And why did Australia take over the Pavlova?
New Zealand originally. Don't they say there's a fight between? Yeah, it's actually Australian or New Zealand, the Pavlova. It's not Russian.
But she's got a name of Pavlova.
Well, they named it after her, though, didn't they? Like Queen Margarita when they had made the Margarita pizza
in
Italy.
Why would you name something that's ours after someone who's she Australian?
She was touring. She was touring.
So some people who've made. So here's how it happened. You and I, we've made up a cake.
Yeah.
A dessert.
Mm.
With meringue cream.
Because we've got a big Russian ballet star coming to our small town.
What, we're sitting there, were we? And went,
No, we heard she was coming. We heard Anna Pavlova's coming to, say we're in Horsham or somewhere. And we should make a sweet for her. Well, we'll just make a trifle. No. What about a chocolate ripple cake? No, come on. Invent a sweet for her. And so they invented the Pavlova. Isn't that how it worked?
Oh, that's probably it. You probably know.
I don't know.
Maybe there's something to do with that, with the whole thing. What are the big ballets around the world? You've got your Australian ballet rates pretty
high. Very high standard.
You got your USA, your French, your Russian.
Hang on. Chicago Ballet. That rings a bell. The big New York ballet.
Hey, you want to see me dance? Hey, that's not dancing. No, I'll show you what dancing and the tippy toes. We got the.
You don't like it? We take you out the bucket and shoot you. You're going to dance with the fishes tonight. You're swimming with the fishes.
That was our party trick because Mum would say she's going to the ballet and we would all do this thing and I'll gesture it and you can describe what I'm doing, which is you stick your finger up like that, which means that there's someone on the end of my finger and then you spin them. Every time.
Spin me right round, baby.
And you
right
do,
round.
Look, let's be honest, I don't want to make it, but you do go, well, he's quite well endowed. Because the outfits were tight.
Yeah, but they got ballet support.
So everyone was the same.
I don't know. When I was in the gang show, which was...
I'm taking a big leap here.
The gang show.
Which I don't know whether you can parallel the gang show with the Russian ballet.
But we wore leotards in a number. After the first rehearsal, the bloke in charge said, some of you younger men need to go and buy ballet supports. So I had to go to a ballet shop in the city. I still remember where it was. It was in Little Collins Street. I had to buy a ballet support, which is like a cricket box.
And you strapped it on.
Mm.
You had a strap on.
Mm.
You see, you tell your kids you've got a strap on when you're in the Scouts. That's not going to go down well.
Wearing a leotard, a green gold leotard, and singing Australia, we are Australia.
Because I had a leotard for drama school, and it was not impressive.
It's not good.
I mean...
Not many people can wear a leotard well.
Well, a lot of people are wearing them in the shops now.
Oh, yeah,
like the workout gear.
Lulumama, or whatever it's called. Lulumama.
Yeah, yeah, and right, and they do draw attention, I think.
Yeah.
And you go, it's not quite working for you.
No.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, you can't judge because you go, if they're happy in their leotard. There was someone who brought some out there, pull them up really high.
Oh, yeah.
But guys can't wear them.
No.
No, it's like wearing budgie speedos like I do. You do too, don't you?
No, I got board shorts.
Dude? Yeah.
Dude, I don't know.
You can't wear board shorts unless you're riding a board.
Anyway. Well, I got a boogie board. I don't know what they're for.
Don Quixote.
That's a famous ballet.
Yeah.
And Swan Lake. There we go. There's two big ones.
Here's what I find interesting about the ballet. There's always a story because you've got to read the program. Because if you don't read the program, you won't know what's going on.
Is it right? I don't think I've ever been to the ballet.
I've ever been to the ballet. But you've got to know why. Ah, why are they looking? Why are they having a pretend fight? Oh, because he took his girl or whatever. But you've got to get the story because otherwise, no one's going to help you through. There's no dialogue ever in ballet, is there?
No. It's all dancing and hoisting people up.
It's jumping around. Really good jumping around.
It's a weird thing when you think about a ballet, isn't it? The outfits and the costumes.
What would be the history of it? It would be just...
You assume European somewhere, ballet. Maybe Russia. Maybe.
Russian, you know. Because you know that I did remember Mum telling us about the Russian ballet, that it's classical and it's a mixture of folk dance.
Oh.
And so apparently Russian is more deliberate with their gesturing, whereas the others are a bit more, you know.
Wow.
Palais, what is it? Position one, position, palais thrust.
Listen to you. It's like that. You're like that bloke from Ministry of Dance. What was his name?
I bet there was a documentary series recently on the ABC.
So You Think You Can Dance? You know that show? That's a great show. You watch that. So they did an Australian version, they did an American version, where they get dance troops, and some of the dancing's amazing.
So you think you can dance? What was the show?
Did they do that on Channel 7 or something like that. It's like a reality show, and they get people up dancing.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, but they're often professionals or semi-professional dancers up there. They're amazing. When you see someone doing good dancing, pretty good, isn't it?
Well, I've got to be honest.
You're a good dancer?
I did it in Kitty Flanagan's show.
You did some dancing, did you?
Yeah, I did. Because of Kitty's request. We pretended on the night that, you know, but... I did the best of all my dancing.
This is the live show.
Sorry, Kitty Flanagan's TV show,
You and Jane Turner on Kathleen Kim would pull some very good moves.
Well, Jane and I I love dancing with Jane. But
the
I did
river dancing.
The river dancing. And
that bad kind of romantic dancing.
Daggy dancing. It's all in the hips. Did a bit of that.
But she did some very good dancing on Fast Forward, didn't she?
She was great. She had that
awkward.
Yeah, that was.
It's up there with Elaine's Seinfeld dance.
Elaine's felt forced to me. It didn't. I don't think she really. Jane Turner is the queen.
Incredible.
Is the queen. So I did all of them on stage. Yeah, whatever.
Can you do like the Sharpie dance? Remember when Magda used to do that with Ellen Pedlund?
Yeah, that's easy to do that.
You can do the Sharpie dance.
Yeah, I'll do it now.
It's hard because you got to get down with your. That's it. I was watching some footage the other day of Sharpies at the Maya Music Bowl, and I remember seeing them at the Maya Music Bowl in the 80s.
An aggressive almost.
Yeah,
an arrogance to it.
Yeah, of course. It's like a fight.
Yeah.
They want to fight you.
Yeah.
They want to fight you.
Because they'd have those little Connie jackets on, wouldn't they?
The Connie cardigans.
The Connie cardigans, yeah.
I love seeing people that are out of step with time. I mean, it would have been like the early 80s, and there were still Sharpies around. But I suppose no one knocks on your door and goes... Mate, Sharpies are over, buddy. You can't wear that outfit anymore.
Yeah. A Connie jacket.
It's like when you see a rocker. You know, occasionally you see a guy dressed up as a rocker.
Mate, let's just have a chat. You know,
that's from the 50s, mate.
Come on. You put your arm around him. Come on.
Yeah, a rockabilly rebel.
Your hair, get rid of that brill cream through it. You know.
I love it, though. I love it when I see a rocker.
Yeah, but they're happy.
You know what? If it makes them happy, they're not hurting anyone. If they drive an old car and they go to dances, good on them.
I did.
Brings them joy.
One of the first things I did on stage was a dance routine with the, what do you call it? The swing.
Oh,
and then I heard dance with a girl. And I twisted her.
Oh, no.
What's that Rita Rudner, Jack?
I don't know.
I used to be a ballerina. I injured a groin. It wasn't mine.
She had some great jokes, Rita Rudner. She goes,
she's fantastic.
I bought a new car. My husband said, what type? I said, it's a red one. It's a good one.
She's good. When she first came to Australia, I brought her on.
Oh.
She turned up to the joke And they just said she wants to try some material before she does a big show.
She was big in Australia.
She was big. I think maybe she was doing the Hilton or something.
Yeah, she moved to Australia for a time.
Did she?
She married an Australian guy or an English guy who lived here and promoted shows and stuff. But I think she's in Vegas now. She has a show
still?
In Vegas. Yeah, she's still doing stuff. She had a theatre in Vegas named after her.
Really?
Yeah. There's a great interview with, it's either Mark Maron or someone like that, talks to Rita Rudner.
Oh, I might have to listen to that. Anyway, yeah. She came and wanted to try some stuff, and they just turned up on the night. And I was hosting that night.
Wow.
And they go, this is Rita Rudner. And I'm not great with names.
Oh, no. What did you say? This is Rita the Eater? Or what was it?
No.
Rita
the Peanut Eater? I said, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome all the way from the USA, Gilda Radner.
Oh, she was a contemporary.
See, listen, think of the rhythm. Rita Rudner, Gilda Radner.
What did she say about that when she walked out?
Well, Gilda Radner was dead. She had died very sadly.
She comment on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think she would have made a joke about the fact that.
Well, I get Dave Hughes. Even at events, they go, all right, we've got a comedian now. It's Dave Hughes. And they panic. You can see the panic in their eyes.
Oh, right.
And I always come and go, it's not Hughesy, it's not me. You couldn't afford Hughesy, you guys, so you got me instead. You're a great grand.
I get mistaken for Colin Carpenter.
Yeah, that's funny.
Comedy funny. Company. Who else do I get mistaken for?
Russell Coit.
Russell Coit, yeah. Yeah.
Let's have some thinking music. Is there anything to do with shoeies?
Shoes. What about Barter Scouts?
Oh, they were great shoes.
Barter Scouts. They had a compass in the heel.
And the footprint.
They had the footprints. Oh, they were for scouts, weren't they? I had
Barter Scouts. Absolutely.
And there was
that compass stopped working after about 8 paces, but anyway.
Because it got crushed.
Yeah. Love Barter Scouts.
You could have a bit of Russian. Bit of Bolshoi, bit of music. That's a bit boring, isn't it? And there's nothing you can do. Is there a comedy sketch about? Didn't I do a comedy sketch in that show we did for Foxtel? Open Slather?
Yeah, did they do a ballet sketch?
I think so. I think I did. This is an Australian story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was my idea.
Yeah, what was the idea?
You were like a great ballet dancer, but then you had kids and all you could do was the dad dance.
Oh, that's right.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's sort of visual.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And so you were doing this amazing ballet, then you started doing that crappy dad dance. Like, it was like, boo, what's happening?
Yeah. Is there a shoe ad? You know, the jingle for, is there a shoe called, there's a biscuit called Kingston. Is there a shoe called Kingston?
I think there might be. Is that a Barter Scout one?
I think it's from that Sam.
Okay, let's see if we can find it.
See if you can find, I think it's a Kingston ad. And it's from the 60s, I'm going to say. And it's very catchy. Anyway.
Here we go.
The Barter Kingston man's in town.
Barter Kingston.
Exciting casual and business shoes for men of action. Rich leathers, incredibly soft suede. For men of action, Barter Kingston.
Oh, that's bringing back some memories for some of our older. Imagine if you, what sort of scouts shoes did you wear to school?
I'm a twin, so I had black shoes and my brother had brown shoes. That's how the teachers used to tell us apart.
Oh, so they looked down and.
Oh, also, Mum got us T-shirts with David and Glenn printed on them. Which was handy for the local kitty fiddler. I remember we were driving home, walking home, some kid, some bloke, you're like, hey, David, come over here. I'm like, how did you know my name? He goes, oh, I know you. Anyway,
I think we haven't ever talked about it. Did you ever play tricks with girls or anything?
No. The one trick we did play was when we both worked in the hot dog shop, I got sacked. I got sacked for, he accused me of.
You were eating hot dogs?
Yeah, when I. No, he thought I was stealing the rolls and selling them to an opposition shop.
Oh, of course you would. You're that sort of guy.
I am, but yeah. I was actually eating them. So I got sacked, and then Glenn got a full-time job at the Red Cross where he still sort of works now. And so he said, just turn up as me. And so I would turn up and
at the Red Cross?
No, he got a job in the Red Cross, so he couldn't do the part-time job in the hot dog shop anymore.
Oh, the part-time, yeah. So
now, I was fired from the hot dog shop, but then I just started turning up as Glenn.
Oh, Glenn.
I'm Glenn. And then I would be there, and Dudley, the owner, would come in and go, hey, Glenn, how are you? I'm like, good. Then you hear the wife going, that's not Glenn, that's his brother, the one that's. He's like, hey, is that you really Glenn? I'm like, yeah, it's me. I'm Glenn.
Look at me.
Well, I'm not that bloody thieving brother.
Yeah, what do you think I did would do something like that? That's stupid.
I still remember that guy who owned the hot dog shop. He would drive a Jag and turn up every day with the rolls in his boot. And then he'd count the rolls. He was obsessed by the rolls. People stealing.
Well, if that was your world, you would be.
Well, he was a millionaire from his.
And did you have the hot skewer?
Yeah. We had the, a row of like 12 hot skewery things, and we'd put the rolls on the on the skewer and cook them. That's right.
And sometimes the sausage would bend halfway down, poking it down the hole. It wouldn't.
Yes.
It would kink a bit. Wouldn't
yes.
It? Did you have? Did you put the sauce in first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the sauce, so that would
make a training session for 5 minutes to learn how to do it.
It would make the said sausage slide in much more efficiently with the sauce. And did you have different sauces?
Oh, man, we had like 15 different sauces. The funniest thing working in a hot dog shop, and that's all we sold, people would come in and say, can you have sauce on your hot dog? And I always go, no, we forbid that. Of course you can have sauce.
Could you combine your sauces?
Oh, absolutely. So, okay, the popular sauces were tomato, barbecue.
Mustard.
There was mustard.
Yeah.
Then there was cream cheese, which was absolute killer. So the best combination. And then there was the electro sauce, because it was electro hot dogs, which was I used to make it. It was a combination of sauce, gherkin relish, mustard, and that was good.
How much? $3.
Yeah, it was about $3.
Pretty good deal after you've been drinking
pretty
all
good
night.
Deal.
And
yeah.
And now I couldn't eat a hot dog nowadays.
Oh, we have an occasion with the kids, and they're fantastic.
Do you don't get reflux?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah, we also had mint jelly, fruit chutney. There was a whole section of sauces that were never kind of used, like mint jelly. Who's ever mint jelly? But tomato sauce, barbecue sauce, mustard, cream cheese, they were the big ones.
See, I would open up one now, and I would have your normals, and I'd have little boys.
Little boys are good.
Did you ever sell any little boys?
No, just the big ones.
Isn't it funny when you get with an American person, you go, would you like a little boy? And they go,
excuse me.
It's a hot dog. And it's a little boy. I mean, referring to.
I know, people's appendage.
And I got to say, you know, that's a how big is a little boy? It's about 3 inches long. So okay, he's little. Yeah, okay.
Well, not really.
Depends on the weather.
It depends. Look at yourself. Look within yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to have an answer?
I'm going to say that it was a Russian tradition before the show. For good luck, you drank from a ballerina's shoe, and they passed it around. Everyone had a go at it.
I can't really top that. I just reckon maybe it's a tradition of drinking from shoes. Let's get the answer, Sam.
Drinking from shoes is said to be of Russian origin dating back to the 19th century. It was at the Russian ballet where fans would drink alcohol from their favorite ballerina's satin slippers. Drinking from a shoe has historically been performed as both a bringer of good fortune, a hazing punishment, or a party piece. Drinking champagne from a lady's slipper became a symbol of decadence in the early 20th century.
So I'm right.
Yep, you're right. Well done.
That was easy.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Okay, there we go. So, yeah, interesting. The shoey started with the Russian ballet. That's quite funny to think, isn't it?
I remember from that documentary on the ABC, they went on strike in the 80s.
Oh, the Russian.
No, not the Australian ballet.
Oh, the Australian ballet.
Because they started treating it like a business, and they were putting because you pull a lot of groins and
They've got to have proper health and safety.
So they were just banging it out 8 shows a week or whatever, and they couldn't cope.
God, I hope they had a picket line, did they?
Well, they just
with signs
they were at the Palais Theatre. The Palais Theatre back in 81.
What do we want?
Yeah, and they said it was all set to go. The crowd was there, not doing it. We're taking our pumps and we're pissing off.
See, you know what? That's crucial with a strike. They've hit them when they're vulnerable.
That's right. You go otherwise.
It's like the concrete is at the BLF or the building union would always strike when they were about to lay the concrete.
Yep.
And they said, well, we're going to. The concrete's going to go hard, guys. We want our demands met.
Yep.
So they're smart, the ballet dancers.
But then they got what they wanted in the long run. But the guy admitted that he was running it like a business. You can't run everything like a business.
I remember going to the ballet and they were really cutting their funds and cutting their thing. And that no one was wearing ballet supports. It was awful.
Yeah, it was just everything was going everywhere.
It was a sausage fest.
It was just.
You didn't want to be in the front row. Put it that way.
No, because
I got hit in the eye.
Go on strike. It's not enough. Get your cod pieces on. I'm offended. Hey, you second from the left, especially you. I don't know what you've been doing, but hey.
He's excited, the one on the right.
Oh, God.